Well, Peter, I'm so sorry. That's the least amount of notice. I don't give you much notice, but that's the least amount of notice I think I've ever given you. I called Peter and I thought I was putting another song on, but I accidentally introduced him. So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, yes. Good. I'm glad that's you on the other end of the phone. Yeah. What's news with you?
Well, so I want to talk about today a decision which you probably didn't even notice because it was small fry in the news of last week. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the American election at all.
Oh,
but
okay.
Entirely to do with the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine.
Okay.
Did you notice any news about this?
I must confess I did not. And I apologise to...
No, I think you would not be the only one, and yet it's quite significant in some ways. So, it's all a bit complicated, but the government of the Ukraine, the parliament of the Ukraine, yeah, have, by law, banned the Russian-aligned branch of the Orthodox Church.
Oh.
And that's a fairly drastic step.
Hmm.
So, there is a long history behind this, of course, as there is with everything in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
But it comes down to a little bit of an issue of religious freedom. Though I might say I've just read a defense by the Kiev Post, which I take it is a government spokesperson or center of government statement, mm-hmm, which defends the decision and says it doesn't ban anything. It only bans people who align to Russia.
Right.
The Orthodox Church is sharply divided into two factions in the Ukraine, and this has all happened so recently that it's not very clear which bit belongs to which.
Mm-hmm.
But until... where to start to make this sensible? I think we'll start at the end. So there are kind of two groups. There's the Orthodox Church of the Ukraine, and there's the Orthodox Ukraine Church. You follow the distinction? It's quite an important one.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So the Orthodox Church of the Ukraine was set up in 2019 by a merger of two branches of the Ukrainian church that had split away from Moscow over the last six centuries. They don't comprise the majority of Orthodox, but then I suppose for the ordinary Orthodox person it doesn't particularly matter as long as it's an Orthodox liturgy that's being offered. Whereas the Orthodox Ukrainian church used to have as its hyphen Moscow Patriarchate. That's to say that they acknowledged that the Patriarch of Moscow was, in the end, the final deciding factor in their church.
Right.
And so, obviously, there's some pretty obvious history behind it. Way back, six centuries ago, there was an attempt by Moscow to foist its control on to the Ukraine as Moscow became stronger, as Russia became stronger under Peter the Great. So that's how long ago we're talking about.
Okay.
And so they had imposed at that point the decisions of the Patriarch of Moscow, who could decide, in effect, who would be the bishops of the church, and the bishops then have the power to choose the priests, etc. There was a resistance to that at the time, and a group split away from it. And then during the Russian Revolution, another group split away from the Ukrainian, from the control of Moscow, mm-hmm, at the time when the Russian Empire had been dissolved. But pretty soon, Stalin imposed, he decided that he could control everything through the church, rather, while at the same time trying to ban the church, you understand?
Well, yeah, I think this is my...
You've got to play complex politics.
This is my...
That's part of the world.
You know, the extent of my kind of understanding of the church situation in Russia is that, as you know, you could quite conceivably say it is a politically aligned institution also, or?
Yes, indeed, heavily politically aligned.
Yeah.
And many people had wondered whether, in fact, the Moscow Patriarch would become more independent once the Soviet Union was dissolved. But clearly, with Patriarch Kirill, it's anything but that.
Right.
In fact, he's become a crucial advocate of the Putin's regime.
Yeah.
And especially Putin's war, which he recently called a holy war, which is quite extraordinary.
Did he?
Really think about.
Okay, that's...
Then when the Russians grabbed Crimea, well, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was a revival of that earlier split of six centuries ago. And so now there were three Orthodox churches in the Ukraine. And then in 2019, the two that didn't acknowledge Moscow merged together and pulled off an astonishing coup in getting the recognition of the Patriarch of Constantinople. So this is the other big name in the Orthodox world. Patriarch of Constantinople is the head charang, if you like.
Hmm.
But he chose to operate without acting in concert with the other patriarchs, which is unusual. And he recognized the independence of Kiev from Moscow. And so since then, pretty steadily, the forces of the state in Ukraine have become very, very suspicious of the Orthodox who still look to Moscow. And they, very hastily, as when the war broke out in 2022, they pulled their connection, their working connection with Moscow. Of course, who wouldn't? They kind of declared their independence, but they were always still seen as the church aligned to Russia.
Right.
And so this new law that's been passed says that any body that looks to Russia for authority must be banned, any church.
Right. And have, you know, I'm trying to think of comparisons, and I guess in America is another one where there's, you know, certain factions of the church who inexplicably think that Donald Trump is the most appropriate man for them. And, like, you know, and no matter what happens, you know, defiantly so. And, like, is there that kind of, within Ukraine, is your understanding that there are, you know, people, members of the church that was aligned with Moscow, like, are there members of that church that are kind of, you know, not being very useful or causing any trouble in terms of politically in Ukraine? Yeah.
Yes, there are. 50 clergy, the monks of the greatest monastery, these two elements have all come out critical of any interference in their own affairs and are seen as aligned to Moscow, even defending Moscow's invasion.
Well, that was the thing, isn't it? Like, I think if they went that far so far as to defend the invasion, I think that's where they've got the problem. Like, you know, it's not great.
It isn't a good look, but it also isn't a good look for Zelensky when a Jewish president signs a decree banning a religious body.
Right.
And see, that's the aspect. You know, we tend to take the Western line on Ukraine, and I certainly would tend to take the Western line on Ukraine, that this is, you know, the attempt by the Russians to seize control of Ukraine and to divert it to its policies, that it was becoming too independent, and that therefore issues of freedom and justice and democracy are at stake.
Yeah.
But the other side to freedom is that you allow dissenters the right to have some space. Of course, in war, that's very hard for anybody to really agree with. And what I think is happening, even though the Ukrainians say, in practice, how could they stop? Because I think the church still aligned to Moscow, at least in paper, is the larger church.
Oh, okay.
And remember, Ukraine is very strongly Orthodox,
mm-hmm.
probably 80% Orthodox.
Right.
So if they're telling people that their church is going to be banned, I mean, potentially that's quite an interesting step to take.
It could have some unexpected backdraft.
It certainly could.
Yeah.
In practice, of course, how would you go about it? Because if you drive through Ukraine, as I haven't, but I mean, I've seen plenty of pictures of Ukraine, in every parish you see an Orthodox church with an onion dome. And what way is it aligned? Well, there's a whole series of historical reasons mm-hmm. why it's got whatever name is on the door. But in practice, you'd have to go priest by priest and check out their loyalty.
Yeah.
You might be talking of 5,000 priests that you're going to have to check them out.
Yeah.
That's okay. Pretty difficult, isn't
yeah.
it? Yes. And so clearly what they'll do is go for the low-hanging fruit. They'll pick off the people, like some of the monks, who've been most obdurate in saying
that
we are going to stick with the Russian Patriarchate. Mm. And they've got a law that enables them to do that. And then they just selectively apply it and intimidate the others.
Yeah. Well, I think, religious freedom, very, very important. But also if, a state-owned, essentially, church... Now, I'm speaking out of a bit of a pit of ignorance here, but just translating what I think I've heard.
I think that's certainly an aspect of truth to that, that Orthodoxy has always been state-sponsored.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But it does feel a bit complicated. It'd be kind of a bit like, I don't know exactly what it is. Sounds like. Well, yet again, I don't think I'm going to be able to help anyone solve this problem, but it's very important to hear about it, and thank you for sharing it with us. And as ever, please give us updates when you can.
Very good.
Mm, thank you very much, Peter.
Okay.
We salute you. See you again.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Completely unplanned.